Tony.
I want to be a firefighter.
A ballerina.
I want to be a Batman.
This is State of Opportunity from Michigan Radio. I'm Sarah Alvarez. So yesterday, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case regarding the Indian Child Welfare Act. It's a law designed to make sure Native American children in the child welfare system stay connected with their tribes. Michigan has a similar law, and many advocates say it could be a fix for the rest of the state's troubled child welfare system. But enforcing the law isn't easy, and supporters are afraid a ruling from the nation's high court could undo years of progress. You might think that if the state takes a child away from their family, there's a really good reason for it. But that hasn't been the experience for many American Indians. For decades, Indian families all over the country, including Michigan, were wrenched apart by private and state child welfare workers. Often with little reason, they removed Indian children from their families and tribes and tried to assimilate them into white and usually Christian culture. This is not ancient history.
My mother was a victim.
Allie Greenleaf Maldonado is a tribal court judge and a member of the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians. When her grandmother died, her mom was taken away from her family.
She could have been placed with any number of relatives, but instead she was sent to another state to be a domestic worker for a Mennonite minister and his wife. That was a very common practice. Boys were often sent to farms to be farm hands, and girls were often sent out to be domestic workers under the guise of giving them job skills.
How old was she?
She was 4.
Greenleaf Maldonado's grandmother and her uncles were also removed from their homes when they were children and sent to Indian boarding schools.
So as a result, you have 2 generations just in my family that lost the ability to parent.
The federal government passed the Indian Child Welfare Act 35 years ago to put a stop to these kinds of abuses. Since Indian children are still overrepresented in Michigan's child welfare system, Greenleaf Maldonado and lots of other people worked for about 8 years on an even stronger state version of the law, and it passed in January. But now the U.S. Supreme Court is examining the federal Indian Child Welfare Act. Nobody knows what the court will decide, including Catherine Fort. Fort practices federal Indian law at Michigan State University's Indigenous Law and Policy Center.
I honestly have no idea how the Supreme Court case is going to go. It's like trying to read a crystal ball.
The uncertainty worries Ford because she and a lot of other people think Michigan's law is really good for families. At best, a decision from the Supreme Court will probably create confusion around the Michigan law. At worst, it could undo a lot of hard work that was supposed to better help kids. The state law is called the Michigan Indian Family Preservation Act. People in the know call it MIFPA.
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 As state court judge Tim Connors sees it, the law could be a model for the whole state.
Are you kidding? This is a gift. This is a tremendous, tremendous gift.
He sees it as an alternative to the state breaking apart families when they take children away from their parents. He's not afraid to say what he thinks about that, even to a whole room full of people.
The truth of the matter is, what we do in our state court family courts is actually very destructive to families, to individuals, to children.
The tribes want families kept out of this system. Their history and a ton of statistics tell them it takes kids a long time to get out and can be pretty damaging. Tribes would rather parents get the help they need to be better parents and keep a family together. It's not always possible. Abusive and neglectful parents should not get to keep their kids under MIFPA or any other law. But for many other families who have problems, MIFPA says the state needs to work a little harder to connect Indian families to the resources that can make a difference for them and their children. It's called an active efforts requirement. Judge Connors explains it to himself like this.
Judge, you and in the state court, we have a responsibility to try to help and reunify these families. And you need to do that actively. You need to take a personal interest in it. You need to follow through and be, you know, walk the talk. I think it should be the law for all of our children.
So why is this the law for only about 300 kids in a child welfare system of about 14,000? Mostly, it's because it would take a huge culture shift on the state's part. But there is hope it could happen. The idea is that the state can see how MIFPA goes and maybe use it as a model. Expansion wouldn't be easy. The tribes do a lot of work as independent watchdogs, advocates, and service providers for kids. Under MIFPA, many Indian children are able to access a whole alternative of smaller and more personal tribal courts and tribal child welfare agencies. There's nothing like that for the rest of the state's kids. And before the law is expanded, it needs to work for the kids it was intended for. Caseworkers, judges, tribes, parents, they all have to follow the law. That's been a problem in the past. And nothing really happens to people who don't follow the law, says Professor Catherine Fort. If an agency or a judge messes up, it just means a child can be stuck in limbo for a long time.
And a child has been with one family for 2 years as it works its way through the system, and then is removed to another family. Those are 2 years that family loses with the child. Those are 2 years of bonding the child has with another family. The only person who's hurt is that child when you don't follow the law.
Carrie and Rick Burrows have felt the effects of someone not following the federal law. Carrie Burrows is part Cherokee. She and her family have a very happy and luckily very large home full of 9 children, some biological and some adopted. A few years and a few children ago, a part Cherokee baby was placed with them directly from the hospital after his birth. His parents' rights were being terminated right away, so the Burrows were ready to adopt him. But the Burrows Foster Care Agency didn't understand the law and said the Burrows couldn't keep the baby.
We, I guess, allowed our hearts to intertwine with him. And not only that, it's a newborn. It's really hard to not take care of a newborn and feed them every 2 to 3 hours and bond. So when we found out about this, and I'm just screaming, you know, I'm Native American. You know, I should be able to keep this child in my home. And I mean, we only had him for 6 weeks, but it was devastating.
Luckily, the baby was placed with a loving family who adopted him. Carrie Burrows took a few years to heal, and now she and the family exchange Christmas cards. The Burrows also got an investigation of their former foster agency started and hope the new state law will make experiences like theirs more rare. Michigan's tribes will wait and see if that happens and wait for the 9 Supreme Court justices to rule this summer on the law that could be a roadmap to a better child welfare system for all the state's children. For State of Opportunity, I'm Sarah Alvarez. This story was informed by the Public Insight Network.
Support for State of Opportunity comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first.